All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we will now look and review the doctrine of separation. Roman numeral 1 of our notes, here under preliminary considerations, A, the doctrine of separation, that is, to stay aloof from certain types, is clearly advocated by the Word of God. It is not a foreign principle in regard to God's plan. It is a doctrine that is, if it's put in its proper perspective, saturates the Bible. Psalm 1, it notes the contrast conditions and differences between positive and negative volition. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He stays aloof from that, separate from that, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, which all recognize negative volition. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Denoting God's blessing, greasing one's skids, so to speak, in all that one does. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff. They are worthless to God, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless, runs into it, embraces the evil that's around in Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, to remain separate. He who watches his way preserves his life. 23:17-21. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine, drunkards, or with gluttonous eaters of meat, people that can't control their fleshly appetites. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags, one who is lazy. Verses 26-28. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes alight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber, increases the faithless among men. The draw of that type of reversionistic trend and failure to separate in Proverbs 24:1-2. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. So be separation pictures judgment in time of the angelic conflict, separating negative from positive volition, including separation within believers. John 3:19-21. In contrast to verse 17, that says, God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. In verse 19, it details a judgment otherwise. Verse 17 deals with judicial judgment, eternal judgment, in regards to the person's eternal disposition as it occurs. 19, in verse 19, looks at God judging and manifestation of His permissive will to allow negative volition to exist alongside positive volition. So it's a judgment that occurs in time, and it delineates between unbelievers and believers who are positive versus negative. And this is the judgment, verse 19, that the light has come into the world and the person of Jesus Christ and form of Bible doctrine. And men love the darkness rather than the light. Their embrace is the cosmos, the world, represented by Satan. For their works were evil. Their applications of life is worthless and not of any benefit in regards to God's righteousness. Verse 20, for everyone who literally practices worthless things hates the light, that's the divine viewpoint, and does not come to the light unless his work should be exposed. A lot of STAs can't handle the critique or criticize the doctrine as it comes upon their ears, telling them how out of line they are. And hence, one reason why people don't want to be part of the adjusted local church, because doctrine shows no partiality in that regard. It tells you exactly the way it is. And if you don't line up, you don't line up. If you do, you do. See? And for those who would otherwise get in touch with Bible doctrine and adjusted ministry, coming to the light, they would recognize how worthless and wasteful their life has been otherwise up to that point. But he who practices the truth, verse 21, that's negative volition. That includes, obviously, unbelievers don't, but believers too that don't apply NPR. Verse 21, in contrast to positive believers, adjusted believers, but he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifested, that they have been performed literally in God under the concept of divine good production. So see, the Bible is saturated with this principle from Genesis to Revelation. The very nature of Bible doctrine is divisive. The very nature of doctrine is divisive. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword can obviously stick someone, but a two-edged sword has the added ability to slice and dice. Hebrews 4:12 also compare Revelation 1:16. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in his strength. He is the pinnacle, the object of which divides mankind into their two camps. Jesus Christ. So doctrine in the soul gives the believer the discernment to separate from reversionists. Back to Proverbs 2. Here in this particular proverb, wisdom, Bible doctrine, is personified as a woman. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you. That's doctrine speaking. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge, come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity under the umbrella of sound doctrine, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice, and equity, fair play, and every good course, every decision, right decision to make in life. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil. It is a protection so that you don't fall into pitfalls, into the pit of cosmic catastrophe otherwise. For the man who speaks perverse things is any deviation of doctrine that doesn't line up with wisdom from those who lead the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, to follow their human viewpoint counterparts of the world, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. And her house sinks down to death, sin into death. And her tracks lead to the dead, the spiritually dead, either temporal or eternal. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land. God will separate them for their failure to separate, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Proverbs 4:10-27. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble, not in any permanently damaging way. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her doctrine, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't pursue negative volition. And do not proceed in the way of evil men. Don't adopt their agendas of life, their frame of reference and understanding in that regards. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Don't even toy with it. See? Don't even toy with this. Turn away from it and pass on. Keep your focus where it belongs. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They're preoccupied in regards to their own SCA agendas, negative volition. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They are constantly looking to someone who will embrace their thoughts. Think the way they think, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. That's gap in action. See? Give attention to my words. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Incline your ear to my sayings, Bible doctrine. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. for God to be with you and bless you in regard to your health, rather cursing your body. A lot of discipline off it sometimes comes in the body. Doesn't mean you can't be tested otherwise. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flows the springs of life. Life in a sense that the world, the cosmos, doesn't understand. We're all getting old. We're all going to die. Yeah, well, I'm being renewed day by day. What happened to you? See. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Be intellectually honest. Keep doctrine as your mode of communication. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Don't deviate. Don't become distracted. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Keep your eyes on the prize, see. Watch the path of your feet, the Christian walk, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Don't deviate. In regards to doctrine, one iota. Stay on, as we would say, the straight and narrow. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. Discretion comes through maturity. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech, whether it's physical or spiritual adultery. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And a human viewpoint divides just like a divine viewpoint does. See, her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. She's blind to the realities of spiritual truths. Now then, my sons, listen to me. And do not part from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, unless you give your vigor to others, your sexual vigor, and your ears to the cruel one, unless strangers be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed. Obviously, sexual impropriety brings about venereal diseases. And you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof, and I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Believer that goes down the path in failure to separate. And how close it can take you to spiritual destruction if it's not dealt with. So F, failure to separate denies the realities governing the angelic conflict as seen in the five rhetorical questions of 2 Corinthians 6:14. In 16a, we'll look at those in detail in the doctrine. G, a failure to separate drags a believer down to the level of the reversionist he or she associates with. The general worldly view is that the good bring up the bad. Wrong. It's not. The bad will negatively impact the good. Only someone wants to be good will the good have benefit. In that regard, Proverbs 22, still there, Proverbs 24 and 25 as example. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, one who can't control their emotions, always want to fight. be argumentative, things of this nature. You're not to hang with these kinds of people that can't control their SCA at that level, lest you learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. That's the danger of the association. You'll pick up the traits. The habits will have influence on you. And then you compare that to 1 Corinthians 15:33. That simply says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. All right, Roman numeral 2. A separation was to be applied by the nation Israel. And because she didn't, can be seen as greatly influencing their separation. Israel was responsible to stay aloof from their Gentile neighbors as God's priest nation. The exhortation in that vein is seen in scriptures throughout examples here. Exodus 19:5-6. Now then, if you, Exodus, will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, my promise, contract, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a nation that's set apart. That's what holy means, set apart for righteousness. See? These are the words that you will speak to the sons of Israel. Nehemiah 9:2. Is there a scene? Seeking to make reversion recovery, verse 1. 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting and sackcloth with dirt on them. And the sons of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And you got the idiots out there that think the separation has to do with racial marriage and being bound in marriage. Racially. Stupid. No, it was because of the spiritual differences between the nations. See? The color of one's skin is not an issue. Only people make it an issue. Then compare Leviticus 27 that I have written out for us here. You shall consecrate, which means sanctify or set apart. That's what sanctify means, to set apart for a purpose. Yourselves, therefore, be holy, for I am the Lord your God. A, when they separated from pagan culture, religion, and practices, they were blessed. But when they did not separate, they brought cursing upon themselves. An ultimate fifth cycle of discipline and dispersion. Deuteronomy 28. Sets the alternatives before Israel. And the consequences of both. Out of the 68 verses of this chapter, 14 of them address the blessing side. The rest of it is warning. It's always fun to read this chapter to me. In regards to Israel, the Mosaic Covenant was a conditional covenant. It depended upon what they were experientially as a nation. And whether they wanted to be blessed by God or cursed by God depended upon their adherence to God. And God didn't force it on them. He gave them the option. And it's set before you, here's your option. Life or death, I say choose life. Obviously, that's what any normal person would do. And they go, yeah, that's what we want. Sorry. Verse 1, now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments. That's your caveat. See, that denotes that it's conditional. Which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. If they want to be the pearl of the world, be set apart and looked up to by all other nations, then they got to carefully do what God sets forth. And all these blessings, verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. You don't have to pursue these things. I'll pursue you with them. This is what he's saying. See. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Whether you want to live an urban life or in the outset, farm life or whatever, fine. I'll bless you either way. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, your children, the produce of your ground, and offspring of your beasts, your agricultural, economic well-being, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. God will grease their skids in regards to their shopping basket. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. In all aspects of your life. Your normal routine of day. God says, I'll bless you. See, I'll be with you every step. Essentially. That the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. It is God that is their defense. That's one thing that they need to be picking up on. See, in regards to this. But as a nation, God protect them from other predator nations. You shall come out; they shall come out against you one way, and shall flee before you seven ways. Let them try it, like in the 7-day war. Let them try it. Let Egypt try it. If God wants to protect a nation, He'll protect them no matter what. He'll turn the odds around, and He'll blow your mind. Take the most powerful nation in the world and bring them to their knees in a moment, if he so chooses. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, again, your economy, and all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord God gives you. Obviously, that demands that they maintain his geographical will for them in the land. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you will keep the commandments. Again, the caveat is re-emphasized. It's conditional. They got to determine to do this. Of the Lord your God, and walk in his ways. Conduct your life accordingly. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. As God continually protects them, intercedes on their behalf, enriches them, etc. And he's done that to them as a people beyond any other type of racial profile, truly. I can't think of another genetically, racially recognized group of people that have been characterized in the fashion of the Jews in regards to their genius, their brilliance, the science, the economy, and how they're able to do these things. That's just the residue of God blessing these people. You can imagine what it's like when God's really for them, like Solomon, a walking computer of wisdom, see. Well, there you go. Yeah, even when they're in reversionism, racially God has blessed in regards to intellectual advantage, if you will, in genetic advantage in areas, it seems, over a lot of the other genetic codes and races. But either way, not to get off on that too much, but most people recognize that. Obviously, when they get evil, they can use these things to great detriment of others around them. But either way. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. That's under the Abrahamic covenant, which is unconditional. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season. Instead of 10 feet of snow every day you turn around, you can't plant nothing. Doesn't mean they don't get snow, they do. But He'll bless the weather for them. God is behind the weather. Cow flatulence isn't bringing about this bad weather. Neither is the emissions coming from your car. But there will be people out there that try to convince you otherwise. People of renown, of authority, say if you don't believe in this, then you're stupid. Call me what you want. They've proven, science has proven, that a volcano can undo every little bit of anything. They put to shame any deterioration in regard to our ozone in and of themselves. One volcano goes off and it just completely saturates our upper atmosphere in regards to the ozone and things of this nature. Sunspots, see. It's all natural. God's behind all this. And people are wearing out over here in our country because of all the weird weather it seems that we're getting. It's not all that weird. In my lifetime, I've seen it get extremely cold and extremely hot and back and forth. You know, it's no big deal. But there is a premise in regards to its impact now. It's really a wake-up call. And it's just another advantage that cosmos takes to suck people in to the great lie that dominates our landscape today, evolution. See, but with doctrine, you thread yourself right through this stuff, and you don't get touched. And actually, when you thread yourself through it, you're the one in the straight line. It's like it goes around you. That's the pictures that you get that we just got from Proverbs, reading Proverbs. See, your path, your focus is straight. But anyway, God to bless the weather. Here, obviously, to bless their economy. You won't be a debtor nation. To give rain to your land, verse 12, in a season, and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Oh, now I know where the banks came from. Hey, come on. That's funny. I don't care who you are. No, you won't be a debtor nation. You'll be a creditor nation. See, you'll be like China, not like the U.S. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You won't be the jackass. You'll be the brains of the outfit, see. And you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. You got to hear them, but then you got to do them. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. The separation there brings about the proper perspective in regards to this issue, and that is to not become distracted and involved in regards to anything that compromises doctrine. See. Then verse 15 and following. Alright, if you don't want to do this, then you can expect this. Verse 15, but it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Curse you shall be in the city, and curse you shall be in the country. You can't hide from God. All these things, the energy of the flesh, you think it's going to resolve your situation. No, it's not. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. I mean, you're talking about God set against you all this cursing. And it ain't you a-holes either. It's a cursing of wrath. See, national discipline. The Lord will send upon you you curses, confusion, and rebuke. Verse 20, chaos. And all you undertake to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, sin unto death, on account of the evil of your works, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. He'll rob nutritional value in regards to crops, etc., through the intervention of bugs, viruses, other things that will eat crops, and things of that nature. Viruses in regards to people's bodies and things of that nature. The Lord will smite you with consumption. Your health, overall the health will tend to deteriorate with fever and with inflammation. Cancer is hardly ever an issue, and all of a sudden it is the main issue. Who ever heard of AIDS? All of a sudden everybody has it that's not keeping themselves pure otherwise. All the people that, it's just the way it is. This is God behind all this. With fever and with inflammation, with fiery heat, and with the sword and the plight and the mildew, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. The sword there looks at not necessarily infiltration of predator nations, but crime and things of this nature would also be included. And the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, the drought that will occur. Colorado River is just turning into a stream, and it serves the majority of California in regards to its water supply. A big old huge lakes, that you look at and go, wow. We think we have it rough up here with our winters, but look at all the fresh water we got. Good grief. Of course, we may get more than you want in this neck of the woods. So we don't put ourselves above just because we live someplace that's not under these conditions. We can have our own negative volition, and God's judgment on negative volition knows no boundaries, even though he will protect positive volition otherwise. And the earth which is under you, iron, verse 24, the Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. You'll go under. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them. And you shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses shall be food to all birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. In spite of modern science and medical breakthroughs, these things will continue to persist. And you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. And you shall betroth the wife, but another man shall violate her. You shall build a house, but you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not use its fruit. As God turns all the aspects of what he's blessed with around in reverse, all the efforts that they put into everything will end up empty-handed. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you should not eat of it as those come in and invade their lands, scavenge their belongings and things of this nature. Predator governments taking over, things of that nature. Your donkey shall be torn away from you. He shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies. You shall have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes shall look on and yearn for them continually, but there shall be nothing you can do. And people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground, and all your labors, like our tax dollars going off the foreign aid all over the place. See? And you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. And you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. Nothing you can do. The Lord will strike you on the knees and the legs with sore boils, from which you cannot be healed, from the side of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you in your kingdom a king whom you shall set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. That's kind of interesting there, because God's policy of government for the Jews when they went into the land actually was under a judicial judges type of deal. But already God's anticipating. See, oh, we want a king. We want to be like the rest of the nations. That's kind of interesting. Really interesting note there. And you shall become a whore, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord will drive you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall drop off. Things just won't work out. God just frustrating right and left. See? You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. People will gain control of it. And that can be done in many ways. Today it's being done through our educational system. Oh, really? Yes, really. Control of your kids. Your kid's in danger. It's lockdown. You're a parent. So sorry. You're not allowed in. Protect your child. See? Yeah, give me back the old Wild West where everybody carried guns over that kind of crap. But anyway, that's just my old age coming out for you youngins. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. Verse 43, the alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. Wow. The parallels, man. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and the statutes which he commanded you. And it shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you under this cycle of discipline and eventual dispersion from the land, etc. And you can read the rest of the chapter on your own. That's enough to enlighten your day and to make you feel good. My feel-good message for this morning. We'll pick this up, the doctrine, Tuesday evening. Thank you. I'm here. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.